I want to thank you for joining us this week. Thank you for making the time. Thank you for being here. We're going to present to you all week what we have worked on most recently, and we want to talk to you about what we're working on, what we're going to be doing next year. But most importantly, we're doing this for you. We rely on your feedback. We want to hear from you. This conference is yours. Please talk to us. Please give us your thoughts. Please let us know what you need. We're completely thrilled to be together here with you. This conference is yours. I want to take a second to thank the entire Picaro team. Welcome Gunther, who came in from Germany because he likes us so much. But I want to thank most of all Tracy, Tula, and Gabriella, the people that have done all the work to bring this together for us. Let me not forget Julien, who has orchestrated all this. So thank you for your attendance, and thank you to the Picaro team. It looks really good, and we're very hopeful about us having a great week with you. As you know, we have been for 10 years busy changing gas distribution worldwide. We're blessed to learn from you, but not just you, also our European customers, our Far Eastern customers. We learn from everywhere. We bring it back. We build the largest data set on Earth by far, and that benefits each and every one of you. We chose to focus the conference today on North America because we wanted it to be intimate. We wanted to be addressing North American and Latin American issues together. Maybe next year we'll do a worldwide conference on the East Coast. We'll see. We'll get your feedback. We'll change and do more. It's our third conference. It's our biggest attendance. We're so excited to have you. There are 75 plus of you attending this week from 22 companies. Thank you. I want to spend a few minutes and let you know that all of the members of our board of directors that are directly involved in gas distribution have made the trip and are here this week. I'm thrilled they would do this for you and they would do this for us. They're here to listen. They're here to answer your questions. They're very nice people, unlike me. In the case of Paolo Gallo and Nick Stavropoulos, they were the pioneers adopting us early, teaching us so much of what we know today about gas distribution. Let me introduce them. Paolo Gallo is the CEO of Italgas, the largest gas distribution company in Italy, the third largest in Europe, which makes them as large as the very largest in the US. Paolo is a visionary leader. He has written many books, and one of them, his most relevant book to us, Flight Log, was given to you at the beginning of the conference. It talks about his journey digitizing, bringing forward Italgas over the past 6 years of his tenure and his leadership. Under Paolo's leadership, Italgas has expanded internationally, and Italgas is now running all of gas distribution in Greece. Nick Stavropoulos has had an amazing career, most recently turning gas distribution around at PG&E. He has taken PG&E from last to first. Prior to then, he ran gas distribution at National Grid. You're about to hear, right after this presentation, his testimonial. It's extraordinary. He was brought in right after the San Mateo incident at PG&E, changed everything. He was the first one to adopt us. He got his teams to teach us the business. He supported us to a fault. We owe so much to Nick and PG&E. He's here today. Talk to him. He's fun, and he's really good at what he does. our best looking board member by far is Lori. And most recently, Lori was the COO at the American Gas Association, which means that she and her team did all the work while the CEO took pictures and went to cocktail parties in Washington. Lori knows everybody in the gas industry and is loved by everybody in the gas industry. Take time to talk with Lori. But thank you to our board members for being here. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your support. It means the world to us. And you send such a powerful message to our partners and our customers by being here. I can't thank you enough. Let me talk to you in brief, not to worry, about gas distribution over the past 100 years. A lot has changed, but in some ways, not as much as one would think. Almost 100 years ago, odorization was introduced into the gas distribution network after a very bad incident in Texas. And then almost 50 years ago, sensors capable of measuring local concentration were introduced. It's already 50 years ago. And these sensors today still miss most leaks. They're so inefficient at finding leaks that they're used basically once every 3 years when the regulator tells you, you got to do compliance survey. But most of all, think about this. They measure concentration. So all they do is tell you whether you have a leak or not. They only find the leak if you're nearby the leak. And once they find the leak, as a gas distribution company, you have a responsibility to deal with it. That's not good. None of it is any good. No wonder it opened up an opportunity to innovate, an opportunity to change everything. And this is a generational transition that is so important, that will last so long. We're very excited to be pioneering it together with you. So look at this poor guy with his concentration sensor. For 50 years, the integrity of the gas distribution infrastructure has relied on him through leak survey, response to order calls, pipeline replacement. But leak survey, as I mentioned, is followed by leak grading and the commitment to fix all the leaks on a schedule negotiated with the regulator. It's very expensive. It's terribly inefficient. Most leaks don't matter. Most leaks don't matter from a safety standpoint. They don't matter from an emission standpoint. They just don't matter. Order calls are very expensive to respond to. And most gas distribution companies have tens of thousands of order calls a year. And they treat them as a fixed cost. They report how quickly they respond to these order calls. What about getting rid of order calls altogether? That would make an immense impact on O&M. That would make an immense impact on how the customers see gas, natural gas. Pipeline replacement costs well over $1 million a mile. Less than 1% of the aging infrastructure is replaced every year. 100 years, 200 years to replace, by then it's leaking like a sieve again. So, what could be the problem with all this? Well, 80% of the leaks found through leak survey do not improve safety, have no impact on emissions. 80% is a waste of money. There's got to be a better way. Let's spend just a couple of minutes looking at it from a first principles. This is a leak. Its concentration decreases exponentially from its source. A foot away, this leak is a million times less concentrated than at the source. And the second video here shows you a leak that is 10 times larger than the first one. But this poor guy, whose picture I showed you a moment ago, can't tell the difference. In fact, in most cases, he can't tell there's a leak, whether it's at 1 cubic feet per hour, the first part of the video, or 10 cubic feet per hour. Unless the leak is right under his sensor, he's going to miss it. If he finds it, he won't know how to distinguish between the two. That's first principle. If there were no leaks, there'd be no safety issue. But there are leaks, and we want to deal with them efficiently. So the problem with what he does, the problem with concentration, is it only tells you whether there is a leak or not. As long as you're really close, you're going to detect it. Whether the leak is large or not, you'll never know. There has to be a better way. And we pioneered that better way. The better way is to be able to distinguish between 100% concentration at the source, a ppm a foot away, a ppb 300 feet away. The better way to go about it is to measure emissions. Emissions have all the merit in the world. Emissions allow you to know the difference between this leak at a cubic feet per hour and this one at 10 times the size. And the way we go about measuring emissions, we see everything. So most of the time, we tell you there are no leaks to worry about. Guaranteed. We don't only see everything, but we do it very efficiently. We just drive everywhere. We get a heat map of the infrastructure. There's no concept of leak in the heat map. We just get a sense of everything that is going on. And then we run analytics on all this. We run a different set of analytics if you're going to go do compliance survey, if you're going to reduce emissions, different. If you're going to do pipeline replacement, different. If we want to reduce odor calls, yet different. But we don't go into the field until we have gathered all the data. It's a game changer. It is so important. Why is it so important? Because it so happens that the flow rate of all leaks, now that we can find them all, is an extraordinary distribution, unlike any other. So look at this slide. It's as important a slide as we're going to show you. We have shown it to you before, but bear with me. It's so important, it bears looking at again. On the x-axis, you see all of the leaks, from the first leak, the smallest one, to the largest leak when we have 100% of all the leaks on this histogram. The y-axis spans 5 orders of magnitude. And every single gas distribution company on Earth, whether they're in Italy, in China, in Poland, in the United States of America, adheres to the same curve. 5 orders of magnitude, as skewed a distribution as you will ever see. The only difference is that depending on how old your infrastructure is, depending on how well maintained your infrastructure is, this curve is going to be a little bit above or a little bit below what you see here. It moves a tiny bit around. You all are working with different situations, but you have the same distribution of emissions. And that is inconceivably powerful. We have known this for a long time, but we never had the means to draw this curve for each one of your companies and do it cost effectively. That is the data gathering. Then we never had the means to run the analytics on this data, because the data gathering, the driving, is nowadays 10% of what we do. 90% of what we do is what our engineering teams have developed and honed in data analytics. It's what the gathering of this very large data set over the past 10 years allows us to train these algorithms on and improve year after year after year. So, please remember this curve. Please draw it for your infrastructure. Let it drive every decision you will make going forward. It's our chance. The poor guy could only see whether there was a leak or not, missed most of them. We don't miss a single one, and we rank order the leaks from the first one to the 10,000th. And here's what happened when we study it. 5% of leaks are 50% of your emissions. Every time. Of leaks are 85% of your emissions. 85. You find the right 20%, you're at net zero. Done. But it also means that the rest of the leaks, all these, of no interest. They have no impact. Leave them alone. From an emission standpoint, they're 15%, 15. From a safety standpoint, even if you tried, you could not get them to ignite. They do not emit enough. In order to ignite, you need to have an environment where the gas density reaches 5%. You need a high enough leak from an emission standpoint, and you need poor ventilation. Otherwise, you can smoke a cigar, you can light a match, you can light a fire, you won't be able to ignite even if you tried. The other thing you won't be able to do is you won't be able to get an odor call, because nobody is about to smell leaks that emits so little. So if it's not going to ignite, if it's not going to result in an odor call, and if it's not going to emit very much, we're going to leave them alone. They don't matter to us. This is how surgical and how powerful these tools are. Emissions change everything. This data will set us free, plain and simple. Now, there's another critical curve that I'd like you to keep in mind. And this one we may well be showing you for the first time. It's very simple. One wonders why it is not shown all of the time. The x-axis is your survey frequency from 5 years to all the time. 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. And then the y-axis is what you're going to see. If you only drive once every 5 years, you're only going to see 20% of your infrastructure. As you get to driving every 3 years, you're going to see a third of your infrastructure every year. You drive yearly, you're going to get much closer to 80%. You have to pay attention, because when you drive, you start in January, you don't finish until December. So it's like a rolling drive through the infrastructure. Today, the best-in-class companies are driving their entire infrastructure once a year. Italgas is more than once a year already. They were at once a year 5 years ago already. PG&E started driving their infrastructure once a year in hybrid mode in 2018 already. And we're about to show you the results of these pioneering companies. So today, Italgas is getting ready to drive their infrastructure twice a year. Last year, they drove 120% of their infrastructure. This year, they'll drive 150% of their infrastructure. You know why? They do this because it's good for the infrastructure. They do this because they're getting astounding results. They do this because they developed all the tools, all the integration, all the digitization that the future gas distribution companies want to have, so that gas, this amazing fuel, can be with us for the next 50 years in the entire energy environment. It's a spectacular source of energy, but it needs to be safe, it needs to be clean, and this is what Italgas is doing. This is what PG&E is doing. This is what CenterPoint is doing. The people that have taught us the business, the people that adopted us, and that have worked so closely with us so we could develop the most powerful tools in the industry and get the results we're getting. So what happens in the next 10 years in the gas industry? Well, as you can see, the best-in-class companies are driving once a year and are about to move to every 6 months. PG&E does it in hybrid mode. Italgas does it completely thoroughly because they have a regulatory environment that encourages it. But they're also about to adopt a super emitter mode because the EU regulations are asking them to do this. But Paolo will talk to you tomorrow, and my guess is that he's going to tell you, bring it on. Bring on all the regulation we want. We're well ahead of all this. The other really interesting thing that we're seeing is companies like CenterPoint and PG&E are increasingly focusing on emissions. And you can do it one of two ways. PG&E, starting this year, is lowering the threshold at which it will detect and remedy super emitters in their hybrid mode. In contrast, Italgas is choosing to get all the leaks and find them twice and go for twice a year, starting in 2016. So think about it. PG&E wants to stay at 1 year hybrid mode, but is going to remove more and more of the high emitters. Italgas says, well, I can do even better than this by driving even more frequently. You have several knobs. You have several different regulatory environments, pressures on your O&M. So we can work together and you can decide how to optimize your path to adopting Picaro and deploying broadly, depending on your priorities. But you will always have to do leak survey. You will always have to reduce auto calls. Even though a lot of companies think they can't, we can, you will. You have pipeline replacement programs in place, might as well optimize them, and emissions is becoming more important. So you have to do all of this. The way you want to do all of this is by bringing it all together. That is the best way to do it. Your companies have historically done it in a siloed way. Team for compliance, team for pipeline replacement and DIMP, team for order calls, and now creating a team for emissions. You don't have to do that. It ain't a good way to do it. Let me show you why. You no longer want all this to be siloed. It's one data set that will set you free. It's one and the same issue. All of this is one and the same. We have a very rich data set because you're going to be driving yearly. And we have differing analytics packages depending on what you want to go after. One data set, one understanding of the infrastructure before you go in the field and address all of the issues. All of the issues. Today, as I have mentioned, the data collection is 10% of what we do. It's a critical 10%. We commingle it with your GIS. We commingle it with all the data that you have. We make sure that operationally it's integrated with your SAP, but it's 10% of what we do. The rest, the 90%, is all about ensuring that the data analytics we run are safe, allow you to be safe, are timely, and are trusted. Safe, timely, and trusted. Before you even go into the field. That's the promise of this entirely new emissions-based approach. One data set, many data analytics. More and more questions that we will answer in a more and more surgical, deliberate, cost-effective way over the coming 10 years. So let's see what results we're getting, since it sounds so good. So every single one of your companies, every single one on the front page of your website, everywhere, says, we're going to be net zero by 2030, 2035, 2040, 2045, never later than 2050. Net zero emissions. And then you read a little bit below and you find out that most companies, not you guys, but most companies are telling you that they have a robust, ambitious pipeline replacement program. And that the EPA numbers are allowing them to swap out cast iron for new plastic, and they're reducing emissions, and here's the progress. Are you kidding me? How ridiculous can you get? This is the 100-year plan. This will never happen. And your investors, your board of directors are starting to understand this. You will not get there. And yet, it's all over the internet. On the other hand, we, with our partners, are achieving emissions reductions that are stunning. Net zero emissions can be achieved fast. You need to target super emitters. You need to drive yearly. You need to have the best possible tools, and it happens. You don't need to replace pipes on a 100-year program at over $1 million a mile. That is ludicrous. Let me give you two examples. One is, on a baseline of 2015, Italgas reported that its Scope 1 emissions are down 81%. 81%. They're within a few percentage points of net zero. Today, PG&E, that adopted a yearly hybrid survey focusing on super emitters, under the leadership of Nick Stavropoulos and François Rongère when he was at PG&E, has reported the following results. 2018, 100% of the infrastructure surveyed. 220 emitters. They set the threshold very high at 10 cubic feet per hour. 2019, 100% of the infrastructure, 192 super emitters. 2020, 124. Now, think about this for a moment. 200 super emitters, PG&E has 42,000 miles of main. PG&E has tens of thousands of leaks. So the ability to find 200 leaks is buying them this. They dropped in 3 years by over 20% their emissions. They targeted 600 leaks. That's it. They collapsed their emissions. And that was by 2020. They're well on their way. The other really interesting thing that we were talking about is these super emitters, they're mostly hazardous leaks. About half of them are hazardous leaks. So it all aligns. You get rid of your super emitters, you lower your odor calls, you lower your hazardous leaks, you get net zero safety, net zero odor calls, net zero emissions. It's all aligned. So then PG&E reported that they reduced emission for gas pipeline by more than 20%, 2 years ahead of schedule. Odor calls. Here are the numbers from Italgas. 2017, 40,771 odor calls, precisely. 2022, 17,145. Most gas distribution companies, when we ask you guys, what are your odor call numbers? It takes weeks for you to turn them up. Because nobody pays attention to them. Nobody pays attention to them because they can't even think of how to reduce their odor call numbers. But imagine the burden on O&M. Imagine the scrutiny. Imagine how upset a customer has to be to call in an odor call. Imagine how costly it is to you to respond to odor calls. 58% reduction. 5 years. I think they will get to net zero odor calls. I think they'll be below 5,000 odor calls, down from 40,000 odor calls in another 5 years. Tomorrow, Paolo Gallo is going to talk to you about this and about reducing operating cost by becoming sustainable. You know, the perception is, well, all these green people and all these effort and all these pressures and all these responsibility is going to cost us a lot of money. Paolo Gallo is going to show you that, no, you can do the right thing and save money. But you have to have the right tools and you have to have the right leadership. So, in summary, three slides, you'll understand everything. This is typically the environment you're in today. This is the regulator. These are some of your coworkers. This is management. For those of you who are starting on this journey with us, the environment you're facing both inside and outside can be tricky. It's getting better because people are understanding more, but it can be tricky. And as we zoom in inside the company, we run into three really rather interesting behaviors. But we're here to help you change them. Because you are the heroes of your organizations, and we're here to support you. So what you're going to be able to do with these tools, with these deployments, is you're going to help the guy in the middle and all his colleagues to see everything. By seeing everything in the infrastructure, by bringing out all of the information and all of the data, you're going to allow your organizations to make choices. You'll go after the most important leaks only. The hazardous leaks for safety, the super emitters for emissions, the odor calls, and the clustered leaks for pipe replacement. You will also enable your organization to listen to what the infrastructure needs are. You'll get smart about which parts of the infrastructure need more attention than other parts. Our risk-based leak survey models are a breakthrough. We're going to talk about it this week. They're super important. They will drive your compliance survey programs so that you spend only the money you want to spend in the most efficient way on compliance survey. Our emissions-informed pipeline models are another breakthrough. They'll make your pipeline replacement programs much more efficient than they are today. You will reduce O&M because you will be replacing pipes instead of fixing leaky pipes. And lastly, you'll enable people to talk in an informed way about what to do in the infrastructure, what is going on in the field before you ever get to the field, so that when you deploy resources to go to the field, they'll be optimizing your scarce resources, people and monies, thereby drastically reducing O&M. You're making these PCORE investments to reduce O&M, to make the infrastructure safer, to reduce emissions, to replace the right pipes, to reduce odor calls. Each and every one of these steps you will take in the infrastructure will make it safer and cleaner. Each and every one of these steps will be surgical, targeted, and purposeful. That's what the next 10 years hold. We're honing better and better tools. We are learning how to be more efficient. And by being more efficient, you become more efficient. As we do this, you will reach flow state. Plain and simple, it's a beautiful thing. We cannot wait to embark in this journey with you. Thank you.